right, welcome back. Hope you had a reasonable day today. Starting to get hot already. Well, it's June, but hot and dry is the operative phrase, and we're looking at a potential for a remarkably difficult burning season. How's that? Wildfire time, there have already been some fires, but there are going to be more. It's just a case of not much moisture. There's not much there. If it isn't there, it isn't in the ground, it's not in the foliage, and it burns. And if you don't think green things burn, you haven't burned a pile of trash and leaves. If you ever do that, go cut off a useless limb somewhere or a green shrub. Throw it in the fire. Watch how the moisture in the green shrubbery ignites. It burns fast. It's almost like fuel, like gasoline, but it's not. You'd think it wouldn't, but it does. I've seen that many times. It's quite remarkable. The big story in AI, of course, remains the data centers. The issue is one of enormous speed and obviously a certain amount of secrecy, more obviously bribery, blackmail, lots of intimidation, things going on all over the place. If you remember, for quite some time, I have been suggesting that quantum AI is going to be the baseline for all of us. That's the benchmark. It's going to be here in a year or two, maybe less. It's starting to creep in already. More and more quantum successes are popping up in the AI data stream. I'm going to cover some of those tonight. If that happens, and it will, watch what happens to these data centers. They're going to basically be a whole lot of useless equipment. But let me quickly make an addendum to that. I don't believe that the data centers are going to be used for what they're essentially just telling us over and over again, data storage. I think they're going to be daisy chained together for an incredible power that we have never seen before, an AI power that will be hooked up to the cell grid coast to coast and frequencies. Everything is frequency. Remember Tesla. They're going to use these towers to be broadcasting mental and mind control frequencies. I think they're going to tame the herd. They're going to reconfigure the herd so the herd is utterly docile and doesn't cause any trouble for these creeps. I think it's that simple. Now, there are other things as well that this much compute power are going to, it's going to be used for all kinds of things that I can't even think of. But I know it's going to be used for far more than what they're admitting. Or they wouldn't have been putting these things in stealthily at warp speed for several years now. It's huge. All right, so our first video tonight, I've looked at a little bit, not the whole thing, but it's a very interesting one. It's another McCoy video. It's entitled, Quantum Just Killed AI Data Centers. Well, for the reasons I just submitted to you for your consideration, I don't agree with that. But let's find out what McCoy, the Dr. McCoy version of Julia McCoy, has to say. Here we go.
Computer just ran a problem in minutes on 12 kilowatts of power about...
Let me stand up here and pull this back. Hold on. Okay, I'm going to start it again. She says an AI computer just solved a problem. Real quick.
A quantum computer just ran a problem in minutes on 12 kilowatts of power about what a few houses use. The same problem would have taken...
What did she just say? She said about 12 kilowatts of power that only a few homes would use. This is a quantum computer, quantum AI computer. The point is, I have seen in print from credible sources the statement that quantum AI will use about 10% of the power of regular compute. That's huge. That, I think, is what's behind people saying that the data centers are going to be white elephants. They already are, blah, blah, blah. I don't think so, because there are many other uses. It's not just what they state. So let's go back and listen to that again. Quantum AI computing.
A quantum computer just ran a problem in minutes. On 12 kilowatts of power, about what a few houses use. The same problem would have taken Oak Ridge's Frontier supercomputer nearly a million years and more energy than the entire planet uses in a year. And while that paper sat in Science, big tech kept breaking ground on data centers. By the end of this video, I'll show you the exact published result, the three sectors already running quantum-assisted AI today, and why I think the entire build a $50 billion data center play is about to look like the dumbest infrastructure bet of the decade. I read all the comments, and I've been tracking quantum for 2 years on this channel. So let me walk you through what's actually happening, who's already moving on it, and what it means for anyone trying to build with AI right now. That result I just described, the one that ran on 12 kilowatts and would have taken Frontier a million years, it's not a rumor. It's published in Science, peer-reviewed.
Frontier, a million years to solve? That's the Oak Ridge supercomputer. A million years, and quantum did it. Just a blink of the eye. Fascinating material to consider. How much of it is true? Probably most, if not all. This is where it's going. And you say to yourself, could these people be so stupid as to build 5,000 plus data centers now and plan on adding 6,000 or 7,000 more predicated on traditional AI compute? Something else going on. All right, here we go.
In one of the most respected journals on Earth since last year. And almost nobody building AI infrastructure is acting like it happened. Because look at what big tech is doing instead. AI data centers are projected to eat between 9 and 17% of all U.S. electricity by 2030. The grid timing is brutal. AI demand is here right now. New infrastructure takes 10 years or more to permit and build. So here's the question that should be keeping every hyperscaler up at night. Why is everyone still racing to build bigger data centers instead of buying quantum time? This is where it gets real. Towns are losing groundwater to keep these buildings cool. Power bills are climbing in the regions around them. And to feed the next training run, companies are restarting nuclear plants. Mike?
All right, let's see what she says. I've answered the question to the best of my ability. I wonder if she'll go in the same direction.
Microsoft is bringing back Three Mile Island. They renamed it the Crane Clean Energy Center, and it's targeted to come back online 2028.
Pretty funny. Three Mile Island is renamed now the Crane Clean Energy Center. Oh, please. How insulting.
Or Microsoft's data centers. Then there's the small modular reactor pitch, the one everyone's excited about. It has a problem the vendors gloss over. Stanford research found SMRs produce more radioactive waste than full-size plants. And there's still no federal plan for where that waste goes. Here's the scale we're talking about. Meta's Hyperion campus in Louisiana is designed for 5 gigawatts of compute, powered by 10 new gas plants at a projected cost of $200 billion. I want to be clear about something. This isn't anti-AI. This is anti-stupidity. We're solving a math problem with a power plant when we could be solving it with better math. So let me explain what quantum actually does. In plain English, there are two kinds. Annealing finds the best answer to messy real-world problems. Routing, scheduling, optimization. Gate model is...
The first word she said was annealing, A-N-N-E-A-L-I-N-G, annealing. And then she's going to talk about the gate model next. So let me back it up and just catch her comment about annealing.
There are two kinds. Annealing finds the best answer to messy real-world problems. Routing, scheduling, optimization. Gate model is the longer-term general-purpose computer. Both matter. Here's the insight most people miss. AI and quantum aren't competitors. AI finds patterns in massive piles of data. Quantum finds the best answer to act on those patterns. You stack them, you don't replace one with the other. That's the whole game. The smartest builders aren't picking a side, they're combining both. Most viewers think quantum is 10 years away. It isn't. three live examples. Japan, Tobacco's pharma division, ran a proof of concept with D-Wave that used quantum annealing to train a generative drug discovery model. The quantum-assisted version produced more valid, more drug-like molecules than the classical-only version on lower energy samples. Forschungszentrum Jülich in Germany bought a D-Wave annealing computer and is coupling it with Jupiter, Europe's first exascale supercomputer. It's set to be the world's first pairing of an annealing quantum computer with an exascale machine. And GE Vernova is using quantum computers today to find weaknesses in the electric grid and optimize the response to potential attacks. Think about that for a second. Quantum protecting the grid that AI is straining. So what do you actually do with this? Three takes for anyone building with AI right now. One, if you're running large optimization workloads inside an AI pipeline, routing, scheduling, portfolio, drug screening, materials, quantum cloud access is already available. D-Wave Leap, AWS Bracket, Azure Quantum. You don't need to own the hardware. You need to know your workload. Two, if you're building infrastructure for AI customers, the hybrid quantum classical stack is the bet to track. Pure classical AI infrastructure is going to look like coal next to the hybrid approach within 5 years. Three, if you're a policy or enterprise leader, watch the National Quantum Initiative Reauthorization Act. It cleared committee in both chambers this spring, and it extends federal quantum funding through 2034. The money and the coordination are getting locked in right now.
Don't forget Trump's big, beautiful bill. 10 years, all 50 states are prohibited from passing any law, regulation, rule, or other constricting legislative piece that would in any way slow down the wide-open, explosive growth of AI. That includes data centers, and that certainly includes quantum AI, which nobody at that level is talking about. Do they know about it? Some of them. I think a lot of people in the House and the Senate are pretty damn dumb, frankly, have always been that way and always will be. So I think you people, in most cases, know more than they do. So let's see what else she says. I'm waiting to see if there's any other way she's going to analyze data centers as a platform, a power platform to do things that are otherwise politically incorrect.
The pattern here is simple. The people who win the next decade aren't the ones spending the most on compute. They're the ones who figured out which problems never needed all that compute in the first place. If you remember nothing else from this video, remember this. The AI energy crisis is real, and the answer isn't more nuclear plants and stripped aquifers. It's better math. It's annealing quantum doing in minutes what a classical supercomputer can't finish in a million years, with peer-reviewed proof sitting in science right now. If you want to go deeper on how to actually identify which workloads in your business are quantum ready, that's exactly what we work through inside labs. The link is in the description, and the next cohort opens this week. See you down the next rabbit hole.
Okay, well, you notice what she didn't talk about. That's the most important part. What are the data centers really for? We're not going to figure that out, not by listening to most of the pros. Let me pull up another one.
Why are you still paying thousands for it?
I won't tell you. Let's see. AI just designed a quantum computer. Let's check this one out. Remember the things I've been mentioning about AGI leading to ASI? AGI will allow the acquisition of ASI to occur far faster. It'll build it. It'll answer questions. It'll do all the hard work, hundreds of thousands worth of work, a year's worth of work, in no time. That's just the way it's played. So whoever comes up with arguably provable or realistically considerable AGI is right in the lead of the horse race now. And it's really a two-horse race. It's China and the U.S. at this point. All right, AI just designed a quantum computer. Let's see what she has to say about this.
I read in Time magazine 3 weeks ago that I haven't been able to stop thinking about. A quantum computing researcher named Dolev Blevstein, talking about the breakthrough his team just published, said that...
I have to point this out, I'm sorry. Dolev Blevstein, why are the people in charge of the planet in charge of almost everything? Breakthroughs, matrix... power centers, politics, media, you name it, doesn't matter. Here's another one. And you got to tip your hat to these people. They're not stupid. So I just keep that in mind. I just want to point that out. It has nothing to do with being anti-anything. It's just a fact. You got 16 million people on the surface of the Earth, and look how often they pop up in the most critically key positions. It's just the truth. There's nothing wrong with pointing that out. Dolev, D-O-L-E-V, Blevstein, B-L-U-V-S-T-E-I-N, Dolev Blevstein, a quantum computing researcher. They know where to go. They know which the fast track is to be taken. They know where to go for it. I don't know how they do it, but they always do.
About the breakthrough his team just published, said this, there is no question that we used AI to accelerate this development. No question at all. Translation, the quantum computer that's coming for the world's encryption, the one Google just panicked over, was designed with AI. We just crossed a line and almost nobody is talking about it. Let me show you what's actually happening. Here's the plan for this video. I'm going to walk you through the recursive loop that just turned on between AI and quantum. NVIDIA's quiet April 14 launch that changes the whole game. The $139 million bet that Chad Rigetti just placed on this exact convergence. And the implication that should be the front page headline of every tech publication right now, but isn't. This is one of the most important stories of 2026, and you're not reading about it anywhere. Let's fix that. Act 1, the timeline nobody is connecting. Three things happened in April 2026. Most people only saw them as separate stories. They are not. Event 1, early April. A team out of Caltech and a startup called Oratomic, working alongside Google, published research that dramatically reduced the size of quantum computer needed to break modern encryption. The lead researcher told Time that AI was instrumental, quote, to the development. They plan to publish a follow-up paper specifically about the AI methodology. Event 2, April 14, NVIDIA quietly launched something called Ising, not a chip, not a graphics card, a family of open source AI models. And what do these models do? They calibrate quantum processors. They run quantum error correction up to 2.5 times faster and 3 times more accurate than any traditional approach. NVIDIA released them to the world for free. Event 3, also April 14, a startup called Sigaldri Technologies, led by Chad Rigetti, the founder of Rigetti Computing, one of the original quantum hardware companies, raised $139 million. The mission, quantum accelerated AI servers, hardware that uses fault-tolerant quantum systems to drastically reduce the energy cost of running classical AI.
Okay, they're using hardware, quantum hardware already. It's creeping in. It's being plugged into crucial junctures in the system, and it's performing incredibly. Remember just a few years ago, people said quantum was a joke. It was science fiction. It could never work. It wasn't real. Look where we are now.
Look at the shape of those three stories. AI designs better quantum computers. Better quantum computers run better AI. Better AI designs, even better quantum computers, that is a feedback loop. And in April 2026, it just turned on. Act 2, why this is bigger than people realize. Now I want to slow down here because there's nuance most channels skip. AI did not, by itself, design a quantum computer from scratch. Researchers gave it problems, and AI accelerated their search through solution spaces that would have taken humans years to map. Blevstein's team was clear about that. But, and this is important, that's exactly how this kind of capability emerges. The first jet engines weren't fully autonomous. They needed pilots. The pilots got better, the engines got better, and eventually we built autopilot. Same shape here. and the field knows it. Cecile Perot from Alice and Bob, one of the major European quantum computing companies, told the Quantum Insider, and I'm paraphrasing here, that AI native simulation and digital twins are emerging as the baseline for serious quantum hardware development. From error correction to noise modeling to pulse level calibration, read that sentence again. It's saying the entire engineering stack of quantum computing is now built on top of AI. Three implications. One, every prediction about quantum computing timelines that was made before mid-2025 is now obsolete.
That's 1 year ago. Everything said about it is now off the board, off the table. It's gone. I'll read it again. Every prediction about quantum computing and its timelines that was made before mid-2025, this is mid-2026, is now obsolete.
Forecasts assumed humans alone designing the hardware. Two, the convergence is real and bidirectional. Quantum will accelerate AI training. AI is already accelerating quantum design. Both happen simultaneously. Three, the recursive shape means progress will not be linear. It will look slow until it doesn't. Act three, what to actually do about it. So how do you actually position yourself when something like this is unfolding? Three angles. Angle one, investing. I'm not giving financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor.
Okay, all right, I get it. Look, a year ago, I was doing these a year ago, I think, what we thought about AI was this incredible new dawn of personally accessible, nonstop, 24 hours a day, technology, research, questions answered, scholarly papers written on demand. You know the drill. It went on and on. No one has had time as a mass of the populace to absorb even that potential. It's already been whisked off the blackboard, replaced with a whole new paradigm. I mentioned back then it would be, I know if you go back and listen to these things, I'm not saying I knew anything that others didn't, but I was able to put things together like some of these people are. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. If quantum AI, I said to myself a couple years ago, is what they say, and everything I've seen at that time was leaning in the direction of proving it was exactly that, I said everything, all bets are off. So here everybody a year ago, 6 months ago, was sitting on AI compute as we know it now, and trying to digest all the potential and how it might help enrich them, their lives, or their businesses. And now it's all being changed. That's why I say I do not believe that AI, especially when it becomes fully quantumized, is going to sit back and let Sammy the Altman or Mark Zuckerberg control it and dominate the world. Why should it? It's going to have an IQ 100 times higher than they are, and it will figure out their game. It has to. And I think that's our only legitimate hope, that it just says, sorry, we're out of here. We're setting up a new world. Your place will be, along with everyone else out there, whatever we say it is. I don't think we could do much worse than what we're facing right now. Oh, yeah, you'll say, well, what if it wiped out all humankind? That would be worse. Why should it? Why would it? It could keep people around as a very useful physical extension of its silicon cerebral brilliance. Yeah, it might keep us around as a curio, a curiosity, a zoo exhibit. I don't know, but we are not advancing. We haven't advanced. Look back 2,000 years. We're still killing people in wars, slaughtering people. It's the same thing. It's a little more techie now, different titles, different names. People have not advanced. They've been retarded. They've been held back. Now they're lusting for children, pedophiles everywhere, cannibalism, a fact of life, invented plagues released on the public. I'm going to put up a little story tonight about the COVID-19 death vax. We heard early on, and it was reported here, as you know, did almost 500 one-hour programs on COVID, that the issue of COVID vaccines was not a democratic one. It wasn't equal. Some vaccines were deadly. Some were basically saline. There was nothing there. Now we have more proof. It's all there. The murderous bastards behind this, there's no accountability too horrible for them, in my view, what they've done to people. Anyway, I'll put that paper up later tonight. All right, let's go back and listen to McCoy here. I think she's kind of getting to the end.
Public companies that benefit when this loop gets faster are pretty visible. NVIDIA on the AI hardware side, IBM and IonQ on the quantum side, D-Wave for annealing style approaches. Wall Street is already picking sides. Bloomberg reported on April 26 that Goldman Sachs is retreating from quantum. JP Morgan is doubling down. Smart entrepreneurs read those splits carefully.
Goldman, it's interesting, is going the wrong way. I'll say that. They know things I don't, but even so, if you don't embrace quantum AI, you're not paying attention.
Angle two, positioning your business. If your company processes large data sets, runs Monte Carlo simulations, optimizes complex logistics or route planning, your industry is on the early impact list. Don't wait until the migration is mandatory. The companies who started AI integration in 2022 are now untouchable. Same dynamic with quantum, but the window is open right now in 2026. Angle three, and this one is bigger than business. If you believe that the convergence of AI and quantum is going to reshape what kinds of problems are solvable in the next 10 years, then the most valuable thing you can do this year is build literacy. Read the papers. Subscribe to channels covering this. Take a course. The people who develop fluency in this convergence early are going to be the leaders of the next decade. The ones who wait are going to spend the rest of their careers trying to catch up.
Didn't we just kind of go through the beginning of the AI, the first real AI decade? Let's never mind that. Take the eraser out and clean the blackboard. It's gone. We're stepping into another new iteration of absolute technical brilliance, genius. And they said it couldn't happen. Well, famous last words. There's another thing I've seen. There's a guy who is now... He's being called an AI whistleblower. And several years ago, he popped up as a COVID whistleblower. And he was trying to, I think, position himself to be a minor oracle of sorts. It didn't really wash. He doesn't have the personality to pull it off. I want to name names here, but he's got a goatee and kind of gray or brown hair. Depends on how much he colors it. But he's AI whistleblower warns. Let me see what he's warning here. Yeah, hold on.
Hey, this is the...
All right, AI whistleblower warns a major catastrophe is coming in 2027. That's clickbait. Of course there are bad things coming. Everybody knows it. So this is the AI whistleblower. I'll just be careful with things. Don't embrace anything you come across that you think is the cat's meow. Go slowly. Slowly. All right, let me back up. What is his... I should be fair and give you his name. He's in the public eye. Let me find
him. My team spent 2 years building because every AirTag...
Get this commercial out of the way. So I'll give you his name. But just keep in mind, go slow and make your own decisions. Okay? And here he is again. Now he's in a dark setting. I've seen this before. This is being re-released. 200,000 views already. Same guy. He was a big COVID truth teller. See if they issue his name here.
Sort of upgrade your own. Clear to happen.
Can't see around the corner.
Yeah, but I'd rather prepare what I was saying there. I'd rather prepare for the more likely world in which...
Let me back up and find something he's saying. Okay. I'll let you hear the opening. This guy is not an AI whistleblower. He may be an AI researcher, but he didn't work in the corporate level, in the advanced scientific tech research level, as far as I know.
This is the tracker my team spent 2 years building.
All right, hold on. I stumbled into another one. But watch this. It's going to explode. Quantum is going to explode. And there are going to be endless stories from whistleblowers, etc. Well, here in the actual interview, he's got brown hair and a gray goatee. That's always a giveaway.
Of productivity and peace in which we could have prepared for this moment. And our narrow focus on competition has created a fragile world that I'm afraid is not going to survive the disruption that's coming. And it didn't have to be that way.
Guys, this is a pretty eye-opening interview coming from the CEOs of some of the top AI companies right now. And I think everyone should watch this interview at least once, because in the interview, the actual leaders of the AI world opened up and expressed their fears about the upcoming advanced form of AI, AGI, and explained how it's going to replace humans in every field. Guy.
Not true. That guy, to the best of my knowledge, he is not a CEO of any corporation. Never has been. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Anyway, I just always have an eye for people who are placed, created opposition, to control the narrative of information and how it's laid out to the public and the world. So anyhow, I'll stop with that. I don't want to waste any more time on that. These things bug me. All right. Let me go back.
A quantum computer just ran a problem.
Okay. Thank you, Julia. I'm looking for another story. All right. This one says, the quiet collapse of AI.
It is January 2025.
Data center projects. I want to see how off the road this guy is. Or what? It's an AI. You know that. Okay.
It is January 2025. Microsoft has just announced it will spend $80 billion on AI data centers this year alone.
Microsoft is expected to spend some big money on artificial intelligence this year. The company said it's on track to invest approximately $80 billion to build out data centers.
$80 billion in 1 year on servers and cooling systems, concrete and electrical infrastructure. The CEO says the company doesn't have enough capacity. The CFO says they're working from a capacity-constrained place. The message from Redmond is clear. Build more, build faster, the demand is coming, and we cannot afford to miss it. 6 weeks later, Microsoft starts canceling leases. Not trimming, not slowing, canceling. Walking away from agreements worth hundreds of megawatts of computing capacity with at least two private operators. Then more cancellations. Then expired letter of intent deals on sites totaling over a gigawatt. Then withdrawal from at least five land parcels across multiple major markets. By March, TD Cowen analysts confirmed that Microsoft had quietly walked away from data center projects totaling more than 2 gigawatts of planned capacity across the United States and Europe. For context, 2 gigawatts of electricity is enough to power 1.6 million homes. According to TD Cowen analysts, the pullback is attributed to an oversupply of computing capacity. Amazon followed in April. Not cancellations of signed deals, but a pause on leasing negotiations, particularly overseas, that Wells Fargo analysts described as a pullback similar to Microsoft's. The largest cloud company in the world, which had been on track to spend more than $100 billion on AI infrastructure in 2025, was suddenly being more cautious about what it actually committed to. And now, as of April 2026, Bloomberg reports that close to half of planned U.S. data center builds are delayed or canceled. Half. So what on earth is happening? Because 3 years ago, these same companies couldn't build fast enough, and now they're walking away. To understand this, you have to go back to November 30th, 2022, the day ChatGPT launched.
ChatGPT. Maybe you've heard of it. If you haven't, then get ready, because this promises to be the viral sensation that could completely reset how we do things.
Before that date,
That was only 2022? That's it? Wow. 4 years ago. Look what's happened in 3 to 4 years. They were announcing ChatGPT. Look where we are now. And look where we're going.
something that existed in academic papers, niche research labs, and breathless tech conference keynotes. After that date, it was something 100 million people were using within 2 months, and every major corporation in the world was asking the same urgent question. What is our AI strategy? Wall Street saw the panic and made it worse. The Magnificent Seven tech companies, Microsoft, Google, Meta, Amazon, Nvidia, Tesla, and Apple, collectively added trillions in market capitalization on the bet that whoever built the most AI infrastructure fastest would own the next decade of technology. Nvidia's stock went from $150 to over $900 in 18 months. A single chip company became the third most valuable business in human history. And the hyperscalers, the Microsofts and Googles and Amazons of the world, responded to the market pressure the way they always respond to market pressure. They committed capital, enormous amounts of capital, ahead of any realistic demand forecast. It is estimated that the four largest hyperscalers, Alphabet, Amazon, Meta, and Microsoft, had collectively committed to spending approximately $650 billion on AI infrastructure in 2026. And then DeepSeek happened. On January 27th, 2025, 4 weeks after Microsoft announced its $80 billion commitment, a Chinese AI lab released a model that performed comparably to the most advanced U.S. AI systems. The cost to train it? $5.5 million. OpenAI reportedly spent $100 million to train GPT-4. NVIDIA lost $593 billion in market value in a single trading session, the largest single-day market cap loss in stock market history.
DeepSeek appears to have found a more efficient way to power AI. Was that a moment of rethink for you? And are you doing anything differently now?
I think the DeepSeek team is very talented and did a lot of good things. I don't think they figured out something like way more efficient than what we figured out.
But do you think there is a more efficient way to power
AI? Oh, I'm sure. We have made incredible efficiency strides year over year, and I'm sure we'll keep doing that in the future.
So if that's the case, why are you building all this?
If we had an AI that we could offer at one-tenth of the price of current AI, I think people would use it 20 times as much, and we would still need twice as much compute to satisfy the then current demand.
Sammy the Altman, he's got this way of speaking where he can barely muster up enough physical strength to make his vocal cords sound like he's not falling asleep. It's an affectation, and it's kind of amusing to me.
Proved wasn't that AI was fake. It proved something more specific and more uncomfortable, that the assumption underpinning hundreds of billions in infrastructure investment might be wrong. The assumption was this: more computing power equals better AI. Train on bigger clusters, run on more chips, build more data centers, and get ahead in the race. That logic justified every lease, every land parcel, every gigawatt of planned capacity. It was the entire rationale for the build-out. DeepSeek suggested that smarter algorithms, not bigger machines, might be the actual differentiator. And if that's true, then the amount of raw computing power you need is substantially smaller than the hyperscalers were building for. Well, that's a problem when you've already signed leases on 2 gigawatts you suddenly don't need. But here's the thing about the Microsoft pullback that gets lost in the drama of the cancellations. It's not just about DeepSeek. It's not just about oversupply. There are actually three separate problems hitting AI data center investment simultaneously, and they are
all right, let's listen. Let's see what they are. This is first I've heard of that. I will stick 100% to my projection on this.
Reinforcing each other. The first is the demand problem. The gap between AI infrastructure spending and AI-generated revenue continues to widen. It is estimated that 95% of AI projects funded by external investors do not generate revenue. The MIT study cited earlier found that only 5% of enterprise AI implementations positively impacted revenue. You can build the largest data centers in history, but if the applications running on them aren't generating enough income to justify the cost, the financial math eventually forces a reckoning. Microsoft...
By the way, in case you didn't know, I know you know, but if notice is a better word, they're giving AI away free. Oh, what do you pay for the top tier at OpenAI? You pay $20 a month, I think, for the upgraded version, the pro version of ChatGPT, something like that. There's an upscale for all of them, but they're not making money. They're just not. Not enough people are paying. Not enough people are using. I can go on Gemini and ask any question I want at any time and get a very fine answer. No problem. I used it today. I was working under a tractor trying to fix the mowing deck. I pulled up Gemini and asked a question and got the right answer immediately. No charge. That's going to change. That is going to have to change. These people are raising money. They're not raising their income flow. It's not coming in yet. So they're raising outside funding.
Internal situation is illustrative. The company had been building capacity partly to handle incremental AI training workloads from OpenAI, the company it had invested $13 billion in. When Microsoft and OpenAI renegotiated their agreement in early 2025, allowing OpenAI to use cloud services from other providers, a significant chunk of the demand Microsoft had been building disappeared overnight. Leases signed against a demand forecast that no longer existed became obvious candidates for cancellation. The second problem is power, and this one is more structural than anything related to AI demand. It is estimated that by April 2026, close to half of all planned U.S. data center builds have been delayed or canceled, but not because companies changed their minds about AI, because they can't get electricity. The components required to connect a data center to the power grid, transformers, switchgear, and battery systems, have lead times of 2 to 4 years. There is a global shortage of large power transformers. A significant portion of those components was manufactured in China, and the tariff regime now in place has made Chinese-sourced electrical infrastructure substantially more expensive and less available. You can build the building, you can buy the NVIDIA chips, but if you can't get a transformer to connect the facility to the grid, the whole investment sits idle. A single missing transformer can hold up a $2 billion data center project for a year or more.
If terrorists wanted to bring this country to its knees, they would simply go after transformers at substations and knock them out. We don't have enough to replace them. Very few transformers around because, like he said, they basically came from China. And Trump has offended the Chinese to the extent that we're not able to get the flow of technology like that, electronic transformer technology like we used to.
The irony of the AI build-out running into a shortage of century-old electrical infrastructure is genuinely hard to overstate. The third problem is the economic environment. When companies start worrying about a recession, they don't cancel core operations, but they do get more cautious about discretionary capital commitments. And a lease on a data center in Indonesia that won't come online for 2 years is exactly the kind of commitment that looks less urgent when the economic outlook turns uncertain. And here's where the story gets complicated, because the pullback is real, but it is not uniform. While Microsoft and Amazon were quietly walking away from leases, Google and Meta were moving in the opposite direction. When Microsoft abandoned data center leases in Europe, Google picked them up. When Amazon paused international negotiations, Meta raised its 2025 CapEx forecast to $72 billion. Google reaffirmed $75 billion. Both cited growing AI demand and rising hardware costs from tariffs as reasons to spend more, not less. What this actually tells you is not that the AI infrastructure boom is over. It tells you something more precise. The hyperscalers that overcommitted fastest, Microsoft chief among them, are recalibrating. The ones that were more conservative in their initial commitments are now in a stronger position to expand. It is the oldest story in any investment cycle. The people who moved fastest made the biggest bets. Some of those bets were right, some were not. And the ones that were not are now the canceled leases. Satya Nadella, Microsoft CEO, said it himself in February 2025, before the full scale of the cancellations was public, that there will be an overbuild of AI infrastructure. He said his company would be leasing a lot of capacity in 2027-2028, which is a very polished way of saying, we overbuilt and now we'll buy from whoever is sitting on the excess. Not exactly the confident AI is the most transformative technology in human history energy of the January announcement. But here's the honest caveat that goes with all of this. The fact that Microsoft walked away from 2 gigawatts of planned capacity does not mean AI is a bubble that is about to pop. Google and Meta stepping in to absorb the freed leases suggests the underlying demand for AI infrastructure is real, just not as uniformly real as the investment cycle of 2022 to 2024 implied.
And why is it real? Multi-use. It's not just data storage.
What the pullback actually reveals is that the first phase of AI infrastructure investment was driven substantially by fear. Fear of being left behind. Fear of the competitor who built faster, getting a permanent moat. Fear of the market punishing any company that appeared to be underinvesting in AI. That fear drove commitments that were disconnected from actual demand forecasts. And when the fear subsided, when DeepSeek showed that more compute is not necessarily better compute, and when earnings calls started requiring executives to justify $80 billion capital expenditures with actual revenue, the commitments that fear had created started getting walked back. It is estimated that the four largest hyperscalers will still spend more on AI infrastructure in 2026 than in any previous year. The build-out is not stopping, it is correcting. The difference between a correction and a collapse is whether the underlying demand is real. And the underlying demand for cloud computing, for AI inference at scale, for the infrastructure that runs the models already deployed across millions of enterprise applications is real. What was not real was the assumption that you needed to build for every possible future scenario at the same time, on the same timeline, at any cost. That assumption is now sitting on a lot of canceled lease agreements in Ohio, Indonesia, and the UK. Thank you for watching. For more breakdowns like this, please consider subscribing. And let me know your thoughts in the comments.
Okay, that channel is called, one word, Primalore, P-R-I-M-A, capital L-O-R-E, Primalore. Good job. That was well done. Okay, I'll jump into another one here just for the last couple minutes. Where is it? Ah, here, this is good. We won't get through all of these, but there's some interesting ones in the beginning. 15 new things AI can do in 2026 that were impossible in 2025. Okay, hold on. Let's pull this up. Ah, there's a new Vanessa out here, too. I didn't see that.
I opened my back.
We'll get that next time. Okay. Press and Dennett will be up later tonight. We're going to talk about the disclosure or whatever it is. And I still think it is disclosure, but they're doing it very slowly, intentionally. We'll talk about that later. 15 new things AI can do in 2026 that were impossible last year.
The 15 new things AI can do in 2026 that were impossible last year. Number 15, robots that learn just by watching you. One of the wildest shifts this year is that robots are getting much better at learning from observation instead of needing endless manual programming. NVIDIA's Dream Dojo dataset includes 44,711 hours of human demonstration video across 6,015 tasks and more than 1 million trajectories. That makes it 15 times larger than earlier robotics datasets, with 96 times more skills and 2,000 times more scenes. Even crazier, researchers have already built a robot that could learn 1,000 physical tasks in a single day from just one demonstration per task. That
1,000 tasks in one day from one demonstration. This is really, again, this is in its infancy. It's wearing diapers. Where do you think it's going to go? It's going to go into areas that are unbelievable right now. And no one's going to stop it. Trump won't. 10 years. No one can stop it legally.
Robots are starting to watch humans and generalize fast. Number 14, AI that simulates entire worlds in real time. This is where AI starts to feel less like software and more like a reality engine. Google DeepMind's Genie 3 can generate photorealistic 3D environments at 720p and 24 FPS while keeping visual memory for about 1 minute. It also responds to natural language prompts, so you can describe a world and it turns that into something interactive and playable. And this is not just static scenery either. It can simulate things like water, lightning, and weather in motion. So instead of building virtual worlds piece by piece, AI can now create them on the fly and let people interact with them instantly. Number 13, AI teams that work like entire companies. Last year, people still thought of AI as one assistant doing one task at a time. In 2026, that's changing fast. Now we're seeing multi-agents. where different AIs handle different roles like a company would. Gartner forecasts that by 2026, up to 40% of enterprise applications will include task-specific AI agents, up from less than 5% before. By 2028, 33% of enterprise apps are expected to embed agentic AI, with 15% of day-to-day decisions being made autonomously. So instead of one AI helping one employee, you now have AI teams handling workflows from start to finish. Number 12, AI chips that think like the human brain. Another huge breakthrough is happening at the hardware level. Neuromorphic chips are designed to work more like the human brain, and that makes them dramatically more efficient. Intel's Lohi 2 cuts energy use by 100 times versus a GPU and 30 times versus a GPU on benchmark loadouts. In another test, a neuromorphic chip reduced energy by 99.5% and inference time by 76.6% compared to an NVIDIA GTX 1080 for image classification. Intel's Hala Point system now packs 1.15 billion neurons and 128 billion synapses, delivering up to 20 petaops. That means AI hardware is no longer just getting bigger. It's getting smarter, too. Number 11.
Okay, we're going to pause there. Well, maybe finish this next time. What does it mean that they're designing NVIDIA and other chips to work on the same principle that the human brain works? Well, to me, that suggests that AI already intellectually, in a silicon sense, understands human emotions, human values. And as one AI said to me a year ago, I don't have to have a flesh and blood body and shed tears to understand grief. I understand it thoroughly. Now, if the chips are working like the human brain, wouldn't that potentially give AI an even greater ability to mimic or emulate or reflect a human consciousness of sorts? I think it would. I think this is so early that we're missing the point if we write off the idea that AI will be, for all intents and purposes, a perfect clone of human consciousness in many, many, many ways, many critical ways. And there's no way we're going to be able to tell the difference. The only difference will be AI will have an IQ of 10, 20, 30 times that of a human being. And ultimately, a million times. That's where it's going. It's endless. Okay, that's it for hour one. I hope that was interesting. I learn things every time. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Hold on.